Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with hosts Sammy Sage.
I'm having a relationship with my peach stuff.
And Aileen Drexler.
I'm gonna make you girls a hump day treat.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And we are here and back with a Thursday episode, Dear DST and Non-Scale Wins. Sammy from Colorado, how are you doing?
I'm good. This is my last recording in Colorado. We are leaving tomorrow after our founder meeting and starting the journey.
How do you feel about coming back to New York?
I feel good. I feel like I'm going back to New York at the best possible time. Like, I'm getting my vaccine soon. I'm going to see my mom just moved to the city. Going to go see her apartment.
Officially?
Yeah, she moved there March 1st and I decorated her whole apartment. So I get to go see my work.
It's exciting.
Yeah, no, I think like good things are coming and we're going to, you know.
Can you please knock on wood? Like I hate when people say that.
Okay, knocking on wood is like.
It's not. It's a science.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that like we'll be able to like have people over on our roof and go grab drinks or go for walks now. And yeah, I'm feeling optimistic, if not a little bit nervous.
I feel like you needed this trip to Colorado to get you out of your like New York City agoraphobia.
Yeah, totally. I did.
Because I noticed on your stories, you look like you're doing more things.
Oh, I'm totally doing more things. Like that's, I totally agree with that. Like I went from zero activity to like, okay, now I'll be a little more in the world.
But like you're more social. Like there were people in your story. There are people.
It's a pandemic, Aileen.
I know. I totally get it. I'm not like saying you were wrong before. You were right. But I'm just saying you seem more comfortable, less fearful of the great outdoors.
Thank you. Yes. A little bit. No, definitely a little bit. We went on our little trip this weekend and Avi's friend like met us and his girlfriend. So like, yeah, that was like my first foray into socializing. Also like wearing jeans, which is my non-scale win. So
okay. Should we go into non-scale wins?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it's a good transition.
Okay. Great.
So my non-scale win, I can't believe that you're like, you look less afraid of the outdoors. Yeah, I am a little. Because there's like
great
no one,
outdoors.
Yeah. So my non-scale win is that I wore jeans. And I wore like outfits this whole past weekend because I was in public. So, and I didn't love how I didn't love how I looked or how they fit. But I still wore them. And like, honestly, like once I get away from the mirror and away from photos, I don't even think about like what I look like just sort of existing. Mm-hmm. Like while like yeah. when I'm having conversations or doing something, like I'm really not thinking about what I look like. It's before I leave and when I see photos of myself or try to like position yeah. myself in a photo and like you can't hide the fact right. that yeah. So I Congrats. Put the jeans on.
What kind of jeans?
Thank you. Shit, what were they? I can't remember. They were a pair that I bought after my wedding when my non-scale win was that I bought new jeans.
Okay, also, so you put like, those on.
Yeah, those are on the verge of like they were looser when I bought them.
That's okay.
But yeah, it's fine. Also, okay, this is like, okay, I'm building up my stamina. Like where getting up would like put me out of breath before.
Okay.
Now I can like do a few more things.
Rebuilding your stamina.
Rebuilding. I'm trying to push myself to just move more.
That's great.
So, yeah, thank you. What about you? What is your non-scale win? What is new?
What?
What is new and what is your non-scale win?
I'm currently sitting next to a new Peloton treadmill.
That's your win.
No, that's not my win. But I did start moving more now that I have it. My win is that I noticed that I really have not emotionally ate in like a really like a while. And any time that I'm drawn to emotionally eat, I like can sort of sense what I'm feeling or that I'm trying to push it down. And sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'm going to eat now, but knowing that it's like an emotional response. And it just feels good. Like at least in the very beginning, Resh told me that like being pregnant, you'll be the most intuitive you will like in terms of eating and like feeling things. It's so fucking true when it comes to like eating for me. I just know what I want and what I don't want. And it's just immediate. And like I can just and if I don't know, I'll just sit there and think like I'm not really sure what I'm feeling right now. I could have anything. I'm feeling neutral. Like the assessment process is very easy. And it's just very weird. It's a weird thing. And
are you advocating pregnancy for those who want to try intuitive eating?
But I do have to say that I think that had I not like done all this shit before, I would probably be less in tune. Or less intuitive.
Well, maybe you wouldn't know that it was intuitive. You would just be like, you would call it like cravings.
Right.
Which is such an interesting term.
Right. People ask me like, what are you craving? Or no, you're right. Because before like all of the practice is like figuring out what I actually like. But now as my kind of senses change, noticing those changes isn't something I'm judging. It's just something I'm noticing, you know, without judgment. So before, like I used to think I was this, I have no control like, around desserts. And now I've just gone, like, I fully don't need desserts, not because I'm intuitive, but because of like pregnancy. It's just this thing. I just don't want sweet. I want like English muffin and cream cheese. So it's like a 24/7 feeling. And it's just so interesting. But with that said, I noticed that there has been very little emotional like stuffing.
That's so great.
So
that's a real like that's the kind of growth that like it's almost like we take it for granted, whereas like every second of the day you could be like, oh my gosh, I conquered this huge thing that really caused a lot of problems for me.
I feel really sane around food, and it's the only time I've ever remembered feeling that same way was that when I was on like diet pills back in the day when I would say to like what I would say like I really feel like a normal person, like how normal people quote unquote, this is me my feelings back then yeah. when I was whatever 24, how a normal person feels around food, like you don't need this urge and this pull. And It's just, it's a strange shift, but we'll see what happens after birth.
Okay. I feel like I used to categorize, like, I love ice cream and I love all ice cream. Like, yeah. Put any ice cream in front of me and, like, I will just eat it all. I realized that that's actually, like, not the case. Like, there's not all ice creams are the same. I don't enjoy all ice creams. And if you put certain ones in front of me, I actually don't want them because I know that I could have a better one.
I want. Right.
Yeah.
100%. Same with, like, any type of food, like certain burgers. I'm just like, I don't want that one. Or certain cheeses.
Yeah.
That's, like, not worth it. Like, not worth it, meaning that's not worth, not the calories this time. Like,
I don't desire it.
But that's not worth, like, eating. You know, that's not worth the taste in my mouth almost. It's so interesting to observe that. Like, yeah.
That you don't actually like as much as you thought you, or it's not about liking. It's just like, you don't have a taste for as like entire categories of food. Like, not all pizza is actually worth, I don't want to say worth, is actually desirable to me to eat.
Right.
Even though I say I love pizza, like, no, not just any pizza now.
Right.
Like,
right.
There's pizza that I like and pizza that I'm not interested in.
Exactly. I feel that 100% on same page. It's just, it's a wild experience to have from coming from a place where I thought I was Cookie Monster. I thought I was, like, just, you know, me hungry.
And not all cookies are cookies. I would say has some of the most variety within its category of what you could want. So even within, like, the chocolate chip cookie category.
I agree. I love chocolate chip cookies, but not all. Yeah. So congratulations to both of us on our non-scale wins this week. And let's do a listener non-scale win. I will read it just because I feel like it. The title is Fuck Dark Chocolate. Hi, Sammy and Eileen. I've been listening to the pod religiously for at least a couple of years. I have never felt like I truly had something to write in about, but today I had the most freeing realization that I just had to share. In the interest of not burying the lead, after years of convincing myself otherwise, today I am declaring I like milk chocolate better than dark chocolate. That's so funny.
That's really funny. I've been saying that for years. Dark chocolate is a waste of chocolate.
It is not. I love dark chocolate. I truly do. I've tasted it even now. I love it.
But it is relevant to what we were just saying. Not all chocolate is equal.
Not all
especially,
chocolate.
Especially amongst chocolate bars.
I don't like white chocolate. I'm going to keep reading. I think white chocolate is like a sweeter milk chocolate. Backstory. My freshman year of college, I was so scared of the freshman 15 that I fully dove into the opposite direction and became really obsessed with eating and exercise in a restrictive and unhealthy way. Between my sophomore year and now, I've been slowly undoing the lies, misconceptions, and unhealthy habits I developed that year. For reference, I'm 24 and almost 2 years out of college, and we're still working on it. I'd say I now have a pretty healthy mindset and habits and try to eat and work out intuitively. However, there still seems to be some things that I taught myself a while ago that I truly thought were reflective of my real desires. But over time, I'm realizing that maybe I just convinced myself that I'm fine with those things. In this case, the culprit is dark chocolate. I don't hate dark chocolate, but for the longest time, I'd choose it over milk chocolate. I'd tell myself and others that I like dark more, but I've been letting myself eat more milk chocolate recently, and I'm thinking that I only eat dark chocolate because I thought it was healthier, not because I like it more. It's crazy the tricks we can play in ourselves. I hope this inspires someone to eat milk chocolate today because it's so fucking good. Sincerely, so good. Betch from the Chocolate Factory. Creative gal.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, great job identifying your taste and the better chocolate, despite what Aileen thinks.
Debatable.
I'm curious what brand she's diving into because, again, there's so much variance even amongst brands. Like, totally. Like, I'm sorry, but Hershey's, unless it's in a s'more, cannot touch the wondrousness of Dove Nuggets, the hearts, like a Lindt extra creamy. Also, like the
I don't like that
crispy chocolate.
Yeah, I don't like Lindt.
Oh, Lindt is the shit.
I can't eat Lindt.
I love it.
It's too sweet.
It's not. It's creamy. It's creamy and delicious.
Gross.
yum. Also, like, I don't know if people have eaten these, but the M&M's crispy bars, like with the little mini M&M's in them.
Those are good.
are so creamy. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I love Dove, but I love Dove Dark. And I, well,
Dove is like, in general the special chocolate.
The special dark ones are my go-to.
They have to call it special so that you'll believe it. That's why it's such a lie.
I believe it because it's true. And I also love the Ghirardelli squares, those thin dark chocolate squares. I have like Ghirardelli squares in my house. And I used to be obsessed with the caramel version, but now I eat it. It's too sweet. And I love the dark chocolate square. It's just so good. It's dark red, like the pack. I just love it.
Oh, so you like the packaging. Oh, like the special dark packaging. Okay, I feel like you like the idea of dark chocolate.
No.
You like the special.
Oh my fucking God. No, okay, I don't. I swear. I do my taste testing. You know, do I like this? Do I like that? I literally stopped mid-bite of a milk chocolate. I was like, eh. Give me the dark.
What brand? What brand?
Ghirardelli square.
Oh, I don't like Ghirardelli. Okay, I know this is probably a surprise. I'm not a huge fan of Ghirardelli. I think it's too thin.
This is
you
probably
need
a surprise.
Thickness.
It feels like cat food has been the same forever. Smelly, boring, made of mystery ingredients. That's why you've got to try Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. Make the switch from kibble and give your cat a meal they'll love. We actually sent some to my friend who is fostering kittens, and it is the only thing they will eat. It comes in these pate packages, and you scoop it, and you just feel like you're a chef for your baby kitties, and they j'adore it. Your cute kitty is descended from ferocious desert cats who hunted live prey. Even if your cat prefers to nap all day, they still need fresh, protein-packed meals for a balanced and healthy diet. Other brands fill their food with mysterious meat byproducts, artificial flavoring, and preservatives with names I don't even want to try to pronounce. After switching it up to Smalls, 90% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's major. The team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they'll completely refund you if your picky cat won't eat their food. Now is the time to make the switch to Smalls. Head to smalls.com/DST and use promo code DST at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code DST for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code DST for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, Good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, let's do the Dear DST email. Sammy, do you want to take this one?
Sure. Dear DST, I started eating intuitively at the beginning of quarantine about a year ago, mainly because I was too stressed and worn out by the events of the world to continue giving my mental energy to restriction. Well, it's been going great for me. I've stopped binging, which used to be at least a weekly occurrence. I've freed up so much mental space to think about things that matter, like investing and volunteering. I found a love of cooking non-health modified recipes, and I'm just generally loving on my body and giving it what it needs. Turns out it really needs Cheez-Its, Cheetos, and Annie's mac and cheese. Oh my God, she's like hanging out with me, but not. Okay, honestly, F diet culture. Here's my dilemma. This morning I looked in the mirror and was like, damn girl, you're looking good and feeling even better. So I decided to weigh myself for fun. Fun, torture. I haven't weighed myself in a year. I stepped on the scale and it turns out I've lost 15 pounds in the last year, probably because I no longer binge and I'm not in a constant state of fighting my body. My first reaction was excitement. Then immediately I switched to, I shouldn't be excited about it. It doesn't matter what I weigh. My body is the least interesting thing about me. However, my body and mind both feel really good and I'm happy I'm not controlled by food anymore. But then I'm like, am I happy because diet culture tells me to be happy when you lose weight? For the record, I was happy before stepping on the scale. I'm conflicted about being stoked for my improved mental health, food freedom, and body love because, not gonna lie, I'm also pleased with how my body looks. I thought I had rejected diet culture until this morning when I realized it still guides my thoughts. Can old diet culture thought patterns coexist with anti-diet culture, body neutrality, and food freedom? Thanks for bringing anti-diet culture into mainstream media. Love all that you do. XOXO, conflicted bitch.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Yes, of course these things coexist.
Yeah, of course. I think you can have both as long as, again, you're self-aware of what's guiding your day-to-day decisions.
I mean, anyone who you like, I think, talk to who feels that they've made a lot of progress with intuitive eating will admit that they still have thoughts that are guided by diet culture.
100%. I still think the same way. Like, sometimes I'll be like, okay, will I... is my set point actually lower when I'm like done, you know, when I stop, like when I eat like less, like do I need dessert every week or every day? Or is it because like I sort of am had been restricting in the past? Like, you know, those kind of questions. And then immediately it goes to, will that cause me to lose weight? But I think as long as you realize that the thoughts are there, but aren't guiding your thoughts, I think is the key, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like you weren't thinking about it much until you stepped on the scale and like, okay, so you stepped on the scale. So it'll be on your mind for like a day or two, but then I feel like you probably won't think about it anymore.
Yes and no. Because it's more so like, why did you step on the scale, right? Like, I mean, yeah, for data, as you know, Jordan Zayat says, for fun, but mostly probably because she's
she must have thought that she lost weight because I would never fucking step on the scale right now.
Yeah. Oh, did I told you, I didn't think I told the listeners. I saw my weight at the doctor's because I told everyone, I was like, can you please, I don't want to know it. I turn away, but she gave me this dup form to sign and it was just like huge in letters and I could not see it. I was like, this is not fair or nice, but whatever, lady. And I looked at it, I was like, all right, okay, good to
there's
know
a baby. Yeah,
there's a baby. And then I went into the calculating, like how many pounds I've gained and how many pounds I've gained since an ex date, and then I was like counting how many more pounds.
Do you know what you were before?
I remember that one time that I weighed myself.
Oh yeah,
like a long time ago. So it was from then. And then I like calculate, okay, if I gain this many more pounds during my pregnancy, I was like, and I was just like, shut up. It's not a big deal. If anything, you feel a little bit more free because now it's not so scary to go to the doctor to weigh yourself because you kind of know, you have more information. NBD. I didn't feel that, even though it was bigger, I didn't feel that like mad about it, not because of the number, but because it was just like whatever. You know?
I'm definitely kind of dreading going to like the doctor because of this.
Are you going?
I will say that. I mean, I made an appointment like for a physical in April.
Are you going to look at the scale? Are you going to?
No, I don't plan to, but like.
You just ask them, don't tell me, and then turn away from the.
But what if they want to talk about my eating habits?
Tell them about the fact that you are.
What?
You're seeing a therapist for it. Say like, yeah. I don't want to know.
Yeah,
what are they going to tell you? Last time I went to, remember I talked about this like years ago or a year ago. I have no concept of time, but the doctor was like, you could lose some weight. Here's a sheet. The sheet was like poorly copied.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to read this, eat more vegetables. I was like, okay, yeah, I get it, lady.
My gyno, like 2 years ago when I wasn't even like, I was like probably around your wedding maybe, like that was what my weight was, I guess.
Yeah.
The gyno was like, you could lose a few pounds. Like, you could, like not, she's like, not a lot, but like, you know, 5 pounds. I'm just like, so if she was, if my, this is different than my like regular physical, but if my gyno was saying that to me, then.
Okay, so let's say they say that to you and you're like, I know. And then the conversation's over. It's not they're going to be like, okay, we're rushing you to the ER. Like, what's going to happen?
true.
Like you say, okay, thank you. I'm aware.
Right. Like this person meets me once a year, if even.
Yeah.
Like why would they?
You just ask, okay, like I know that, you know, are we doing a blood test? Will I see like all of my other health factors, health indicators? And then they'll be like, burr, 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 burr. And then you'll be like,
okay. Be like, walk on this treadmill for 3 minutes. I'll be like, I can't. Okay, I will tell you something I was actually looking at. Like,
you know what's funny? You know when you like show up somewhere and you're just like, because you
out of breath,
ran there fast,
yes.
You're like, sorry, I ran. Well, sorry, I ran here. Like you'll say, sorry, I ran here. It'd be so funny if you show up somewhere panting, and you say, sorry, I walked here. sorry, I drove here.
Yeah, I was sorry, I drove here and I took the elevator up. No, like that's the level of like if. If you say, like, walk to the kitchen, like, just the act of getting up might get me a little. No, but, okay, I was looking at, on my phone, like, my step counter, but I wasn't looking at it, like, from this week or whatever. I was looking at it from the past 3 years. And from last year to this year, it literally requires, like, a smaller axis to measure the steps. Like, it is so much lower on average. Like, graph literally goes.
Like, the scale of axis is lower.
The axis is lower.
So it's like in the hundreds rather than the thousands.
Okay. Like before it was measuring up to 15,000 steps. Now we're like all under 5,000.
Okay. It's not like under 500.
We're talking about an average here. Like there's no axis that's lower.
It's okay. Go easy on yourself. Remember, what would you tell someone else?
I would tell someone to go easy on themselves, but I do think it is interesting and probably indicative of the shape I'm in and the weight I've gained. The fact like that, I think shows where this is all from. The fact that like my level of activity without even like trying to have that much activity.
Yeah.
Was so much higher than it is now. And like, of course you're going to lose stamina. Of course you're not going to be able to breathe when you don't move.
Like, yeah.
So 100%. Yeah. I am
rebuilding.
Looking forward to like, right. I am rebuilding, going for walks occasionally.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone who's written in to us today. Betch in the Chocolate Factory, Conflicted Betch. We appreciate it. Email us, dst@betches.com, if you want your non-scale win read or your question answered by yours truly, me and Saman. And go follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow, at Sammy, at Aileen. Did I say at Diet Tomorrow? Yes. Go tell your friends about this lovely podcast. And this, as Jared says, Thursday episodes are really, really shareable, bite-sized. Please send it to your friends if you feel that they would relate to anything we say. And go rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, follow on Spotify. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong and Sean Kilby. Social media by Sydney Rafe. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Betches.